You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, which means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. It's Poison Awareness Week this week in Michigan. Recent tragedies, including the Flint water crisis and the dangers of PFAS in our water, is raising the awareness of the presence of toxins in our everyday lives. But people have been sounding the alarm of these hazards for longer than you might think. In the 1970s, Michigan had the PBB crisis. New York had the Love Canal poisoning. And before that, DDT. Rachel Carson's Silent Spring put environmental toxins on everyone's radar screen. But how about this? In 1874, Dr. Robert Kedzie in Michigan sounded an alarm for poisonous wallpaper. Joining us now from the Michigan History Center is Rachel Clark. So, Rachel, who was Dr. Robert Kedzie?
Dr. Kedzie, that name probably sounds familiar to most Michigan State University alum, but he grew up in Ohio. He is part of the first graduating class at the University of Michigan Medical School in 1851. So Wolverines probably recognize him too.
Okay.
He was a Civil War surgeon. And in 1863, he came back to Michigan and started teaching at what is now Michigan State University. He stayed there until his death in 1902. But his role with the first State Board of Health in Michigan is sort of what we're going to be talking about today with his work with the wallpaper.
All right. Wallpaper does not sound particularly dangerous, or was it? What was Dr. Kedzie warning people about?
The mid and early 19th century, wallpapers, if you think about the Victorian era, and very loud patterns, very flowery, lots of animals, lots of colors. Well, a lot of those colors were made using poisonous materials. And there, in the mid-19th century, green became a very popular color. And the way to get the various hues of green was to mix it with arsenic. And so most of the wallpaper that was being produced at that time was made with a green hue, which also could be turned into beautiful blues and greens and anything in between. But most of it was made using arsenic.
And how did Dr. Kedzie become aware of this problem, of this environmental problem?
It had been brought to the attention of the Massachusetts Board of Health a couple of years prior to this. And he was very concerned. He started testing various wallpapers in Michigan. And he didn't think that people were concerned enough about it. They just thought, that's Massachusetts. That's not our problem. And so he ended up presenting to the Board of Health, as I said, in 1873, just to say, yes, this is Michigan. And in his presentation, he brought up actual examples of people who had become sick, especially children who had either bedrooms or playrooms with this wallpaper in it. So he'd known about it, but he just didn't feel like the alarm had been raised enough.
In fact, the committee that he chaired, I think, has the best name ever. He was chairman of Committee of Poisons, Explosives, Chemicals, Accidents, and Special Sources of Danger to Life and Health. Boy, that tells us that the good old days, we could look at them through Kodachrome vision, but there were some big hazards in everyday things back in the good old days.
He was a chemist, so he would have known about anything that would explode or cause hazards at that time or poison people.
Well, like oil lamps, I'm sure. Yes.
He did a report that same year on the dangers of the different oils that were being used in household lamps. And women were having these accidents where they're lighting lamps and their clothing was catching fire. And so he is sounding the alarm for not just the arsenic wallpaper issue, but other household issues that are creating hazards to people in Michigan.
Let's go back to the wallpaper. How did Dr. Robert Kedzie go about kind of broadcasting this warning? There was no mass media back then.
No, he, in 1873, as I said, he appeared in front of the State Board of Health in Michigan, stating his concerns. He's giving examples. He's talking about not just the wallpaper at this point, but all of the different materials that are being used with these color greens. So the U.S. Express Company, which was a early mail company, they would wrap their packages and their labels were made with these green tints. Toys, playing cards, so many things were being produced with this arsenic color that he presented to the board in 1873. And then in 1874, he published a book called Shadows from the Walls of Death. He made 100 copies. And it was about 80 some odd samples of various wallpapers that contained arsenic. And he was doing it not only to show the different styles and patterns where it was found, but also the colors, because it wasn't just this really bright, pretty green. These very pretty light blues, and even colors that don't look like they have green at all in them, had arsenic. So he was sending out these examples to universities and libraries all over the state so people could be educated on what exactly this poison wallpaper looked like.
And was this an effective tactic? Did people listen to him?
They did. Arsenic poisoning wasn't new, but it was considered sort of a lower working class problem. People who worked in manufacturing industries suffered from arsenic and lead poisonings often. But this turned it into a middle class and upper class problem, and it brought it into people's homes. So you see people beginning to have this wallpaper removed, which was a task into itself. You had to get it very, very wet because the problem was dust that was being created. As the colors start to just fade and disintegrate, they're creating a poisonous dust that's laying throughout the house. And so what you have to do is wet that wallpaper down considerably to then bring it off. And so people start having it removed from their homes, and then industry starts to find different ways to create these colors without using the poisonous materials like arsenic.
This really foreshadows the whole lead paint issue that we've been dealing with in recent decades, and even, you know, the idea of careful removal of lead paint. The abatement steps have to be very specific. So it sounds like it was quite similar.
Yes. And if you have, I mean, I'm not an expert in this. Please do not take my word as golden on this. But people did also just wallpaper over top of the poisonous wallpaper because it was sort of simpler. So there very well may be poison wallpaper still underneath other layers of wallpaper somewhere, just like there's lead paint hiding in nooks and crannies of older homes.
Rachel, what happened to those 100 books? Are there any survivors?
There are. Most of them were destroyed because they're poisonous. But most references cite 4 surviving copies, but there are actually 5 surviving copies. Harvard University has one. The National Library of Medicine has one. The University of Michigan has one. Michigan State University has one. And the Michigan History Museum has one.
You
so there's
one
in my building.
And do you have to be careful when you handle it?
Yes, we do. I actually had the great pleasure of looking at it. It is beautiful, I will say. The wallpaper is absolutely stunning. But the way that it is stored, it's stored encased in multiple layers of plastic. And I had to wear multiple layers of gloves and a mask as I was looking through it.
Well, it's a good reminder this Poison Awareness Week that this is not a new problem and not a new issue. And a hat tip to Dr. Robert Kedzie, Michigan State University chemist, for sounding the alarm about poisonous wallpaper. And what a wonderful title, Shadows from the Walls of Death. Rachel, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. This